Welcome to the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show.
Hello, everyone. It is time for a Mystery Motel, and we are going all the way back to 2015 with Life is Strange, the original game. This is a single-player graphic adventure developed by Don't Nod Entertainment, published by Square Enix Europe. We have Raoul Barbet and Michael Koch acting as directors, Luc Bagadoust as producer. I apologize, I will butcher these names, assuredly. Baptiste Moison, Sebastian Judit, and Sebastian Galliard are designers. Michael Koch, Kenny Laurent, and Amari Ballandier are artists. Christian Devine and John Lucchino are the writers. Jonathan Morali is the composer. This game had an episodic release format, 5 episodes, released in a span that starts January 30th, 2015, and ended October 20th, 2015. And that was released on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360, as well as PC, and has since found itself ported to such consoles as the PS4, the PS5, the Xbox One, the Xbox Series X/S, the Nintendo Switch, and it is currently available on mobile devices, and is run off the Unreal Engine 3. Now, before we get into the full plot with my special guest, I just want to go over the cast really quickly. With video games like this, the cast can often be very small because you can get away with having some really talented voice actors that can pull off multiple characters within the same title. We have Hannah Tell taking on the main character of Max Caulfield, but she also voiced Courtney Wagner. We have Ashley Birch, a voice actress that is very well known for her many roles since this game came out, such as most notably Ellie in the Last of Us franchise. However, in Life is Strange, she is Chloe Price. She also voices Stella Hill, Taylor Christensen, and Sarah. Nick Schreiner voices Nathan Prescott, Trevor, Daniel, and Luke. Danny Knights as Victoria Chase, Dana Ward, and Brooke Scott. Carlos Luna as Warren Graham, Justin, and Evan. Diane Hudden as Kate Marsh and Alyssa Anderson. Don McManus as David Madsen, Hayden, and Logan. Derek Phillips as Mark Jefferson, Samuel, and Zachary. Sissy Jones, also known for playing Kasha in The Walking Dead and for playing a character in Firewatch, plays Joyce Price, Chloe's biological mother, in this game. And Daniel Bonjour plays Frank Bowers and R.J. McReady. We will get into the nitty-gritty details of what these characters are and their relationships, but first, I'm going to introduce my special guest.
Hello, everyone. It's your girl, Sicily.
I don't know who else they expected. I mean, it could have been JP, but...
Yeah.
All right. So, Sicily, tell us, why do you think you are qualified to be talking about Life is Strange with me?
Well, because, I mean, I played it in the past.
There you go.
I've only played it one time, and it was shortly after it came out. Like, it was one of the first PS3 games that I played. I think the first one I played was Beyond Two Souls, and then shortly after, I played this one.
All right, and I play it, like, I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm pretty sure I've purchased this game 3 times, because I bought it for every single PlayStation that I've had. I got it for the PS3, and then I purchased it 3 times, because I don't think I rebought it, I think I just ported the PS3 version onto the PS4.
Mm.
But then I bought the remastered edition that they just released. I think I got that in addition to True Colors, and I got that for the PS5. So it's been quite a journey that this franchise has been on. So if you were to explain in, like, I don't know, 3 minutes or less, what the character of Max Caulfield is, how would you do it?
In 3 words or less?
Minutes or less.
Oh, 3 minutes. I was like, damn, 3 words?
I got a timer right here.
Max is, like, she's introverted, definitely, and she's, like, an artsy kind of gal. She's a photographer. I hate to say it, but there's nothing, like, super special about her character, like, besides, like, the whole fact that she has powers.
Yeah, we're doing full spoilers, so if you want to reveal what happens in the first episode to Max, you can.
Okay.
If it helps your description.
I don't think that I'm going to go too much into detail about the first episode, but, like, yeah, like, the most, like, unique quality about her that I know of off the top of my head is the fact that she's able to, like, mess with time. But other than that, she's a pretty average gal. Like, she likes to take pictures. She's into some, like, alternative kind of music. Like, that's, like, the vibes she gives me. Yeah. Like, that's
and
pretty much it.
She's been recently, she's returned to Arcadia Bay. She used to live there.
Yeah.
But so she came from what? Seattle?
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think that's right. I want to say that's correct. And she's an art student. And she's at, like, specifically photography. So I was mistaken when I noticed it when I replayed this. I legit thought this was a high school. I thought these were all...
Yeah, so did I when I played it the first time.
I thought these were all high school kids. But now I'm realizing, oh, shit. Based on their ages and the fact that they keep calling this... Do they call this a university? I think they do.
I honestly don't know. I thought, like, when I first played it, I thought it was, like, a private school or something.
Yeah, maybe that's the right track, because I'm just like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I've only been to college for, like, maybe 3 months out of my entire life, but, like, there wasn't, like, a principal in a college. There was a director of the university, but not a principal.
I doubt that it was a high school because she's living there.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, there is boarding school, but, yeah. Like... There's so many different kinds of school.
They don't make it super obvious, to be honest. Unless there's, like, some extra information that you find in the game that tells you so. But I honestly thought it was a high school when I first played it.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And because they have all these parties, but I guess there's also, like, college ragers. I know Max's parents are still in Seattle because the only contact we get with them is through the in-game cell phone mechanic. Otherwise, we don't see them in person at all. Any final notes you want to give on Max? We got about 15 seconds left on the timer.
The fact that she is kind of a shitty friend.
True. And the power we mentioned is that she can travel through time, or at least rewind time at first.
Right.
All right, so how much time you want to give me to talk about Chloe?
I'll give you the same amount of time. Why not?
3 minutes. All right. 3 minutes starting now. Okay. Chloe Price is literally a lot of her backstory is explored, but in a different game that we might talk about at a much later date. But in this game, when we first meet Chloe, she is that pop punk bitch that you probably had a crush on in high school. Like, she's just such a badass. She comes across as a bit of a tomboy because she hates pretty much all the other women in this game. Like, she has a very love-hate relationship with her own mother. She has a hate-hate relationship with her quote-unquote step-douche of a stepdad. I do not see her get along with any other woman in this game except for Max. Although, I think they say that Chloe is a lesbian. I think it's confirmed. I don't know if they ever confirmed if she was, like, lesbian or bi or pan or whatever, but she only, within this game, she only shows romantic interest in women.
Yeah.
And this is also 2015, so video games weren't as open about exploring sexuality back then. So it's never like, oh yeah, it's Chloe Price with the rainbow flag. She's a lesbian. It's like, no, she talks a lot about her friend Rachel Amber, who in this game, before the events of this game even start, has gone missing. And she's very bitter about that. So it's like, okay, well, what are you going to do? Like, so at this point, it's like, but just the dialogue with how close she felt to Rachel, it's like, okay, maybe there were some romantic feelings. And I will say, Chloe and Max were close friends. They were childhood friends. It's understood that when Max moved away, communication just dropped. So now it's Chloe, like, when Max comes back, she doesn't even tell Chloe that she's back. She just runs into her. More on that when we get into episodic details. But she runs into Chloe, and there's very a standoffish nature, but the friendship is nurtured and mended as the game goes on. And when I don't know about you, but when I played, there is a romantic mechanic in this game. There's two possible romances for Max to go down. There's also the option to just not pursue a romance. That is an option. However, I just, like, the thing that got me was that I felt like Max should have... It felt more natural for Max to be with Chloe to me. But the game's leaning towards Max ending up with a male character that we'll get into. And it felt so forced to me that I was like, I rejected it at every opportunity and every chance I had to even hint at a possible romance between Max and Chloe. I took it. And we'll get into the romance mechanic in a bit. I have like 15 seconds left. Chloe's a badass, and she will be the reason this game has a T for teen rating, because she will cuss and she will smoke weed.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She's like probably the most badass character in this game, to
you,
be honest.
You took my last 5 seconds, but whatever. Anyway. Alright, so those are the two main characters of the game that you get to deal with. Max is the protagonist, Chloe is the deuterogonist, I believe is the term. She's not playable, but she's gonna be by your side for the majority of this game.
Supporting character.
Yeah, very much. So, episode one, I will say, by the way, every episode of this game is roughly 2 hours. That's like the average play time. Obviously, there are sections where you could take longer, because there are puzzles. So, if you want to play this before you hear all the spoilers, just know that you're in for like a 10 hours binge at least of playing this game.
Yeah, unless you use a guide, but I mean, I'm sure that won't cut off too much time. Yeah. Like, it'll just be like a more straightforward playthrough if you use a guide. But honestly, I would recommend to just go for it without a guide, because
for sure.
It is pretty straightforward. Some of the puzzles are confusing, but
yeah,
for the most part, it's pretty easy to get through without a guide.
And if you are using a guide, be very careful, because there are multiple choices that you make throughout this game, which, I mean, then you can also explore short-term consequences. That's what I love about this, like, power that Max has. We're jumping all over the place, but in the beginning of the episode, Max witnesses Chloe getting shot in the girls' bathroom by a male student named Nathan Prescott.
Before that even happens, she has this, like, vision of, like, a lighthouse in a tornado going over Arcadia Bay, which is, like, right off the bat, that's, like, really confusing to see, because it happens like right in the beginning of the game and you have no idea what the fuck it's supposed to mean.
Yeah, right.
But it's her having a vision of a tornado hitting Arcadia Bay, which ends up coming up later in the game.
Yeah. Not even much later. Like, it's constantly teased throughout every episode. But yeah, she witnesses Chloe get shot. She's like, no! Reaches out her hand, and time begins to rewind to the point where Max basically is back at the beginning of the game, sans apocalyptic vision, and she, like, gets to just go about her business and change the course of events so that Chloe can live. And as soon as that happened, I don't know if anyone follows time travel bullshit, but I was immediately like, okay, well, the apocalypse is gonna happen, because I just took away a life that was supposed to die. Like, there's gotta be a balance. That's usually the deal of time travel, is If you stop someone from dying, either they're going to die a different way, or someone else is going to die, or, like, there has to be that balance.
Yeah, they very much display the whole butterfly effect thing in this game, like, and they make it very evident that, like, they're referring to the butterfly effect in this game.
There's literally a butterfly when you first get the power.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Max gets to explore the use the time travel at different points, and it's cool because it's short-term consequence versus long-term consequence. Now, while saving Chloe's life, that's a static event. You do that no matter what. The immediate aftermath is, like, you get stopped by the principal from leaving. He wants to know what the hell happened that caused the fire alarm to go off, because what Max does is she sets off the fire alarm so it stops Nathan from shooting Chloe. And you can either be like, oh, I don't know. Like, you can literally just bullshit it, or you can throw Nathan under the bus. Now, you don't know what the long-term consequences are. This time travel power is very, very limited, very finite. So you could tell the principal the truth, and he'll make an offhanded remark like, oh, I'm not sure if I fully believe that, but I'll investigate. I'll do my due diligence. And Max will give some commentary like, You know, I'm glad that I stood up for Chloe. She doesn't even know who that it's Chloe at this point. She's like, I'm glad I stood up for that girl, but this could put eyes on me, and I don't want that. So that's like, okay, that's giving the player agency, like, am I okay with the potential long-term consequences of this decision, even though you don't even fully know if that's actually going to be what happens.
Yeah, on it, like, I think that adds quite a bit of depth to the game, like, hearing what Max has to say about the choices you make. Like, it definitely feels like you're both in it together, even though you're playing as her. Like, it just makes it more realistic, I feel like.
Yeah, and overall, episode one doesn't have a lot of, like, long-term consequences, I feel like. There's, like, running gags throughout the game. There's, like, decisions that could lead to Chloe having a gun or losing said gun. So that could play into future events. There's the relationship aspect. Like, does Max have a good relationship with her bully? Does Max have a good relationship with Chloe and Chloe's family? Does she have a good relationship with her best friend outside of Chloe, Kate Marsh, who is also being extremely bullied because of a video that's going around that she apparently blacked out and made out with a bunch of guys in?
Yeah.
Yeah. But episode one, the episode, with not too much happening in episode one, it's a lot of establishing relationships. Oh yeah, speaking of relationships, Warren, the male best friend of Max, and there is a friendship there, I can see that. But it's very clear Warren is simping for Max.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, Warren's like, hey, Max, you want to go ape with me and watch a Planet of the Apes drive-in movie marathon?
He doesn't, like, even though it's, like, pretty obvious that he likes her, he doesn't, like, actually, like, try to, like, he doesn't outwardly say to her that he's interested in, like, being in a relationship with her. Like, he just tries going on, like, low-key dates with her, but, like, it's not obvious enough to her, at the least, that he, like, actually wants to pursue something.
Well, again, player agency. I feel like if it's obvious to the player, then you can just guide Max down that path.
Yeah, obviously.
If you want to, which I did not. I was like, this is such a tired trope. Like, I feel for you, Warren. I was Warren in high school. That guy that's like, I don't know, I'm not confident enough in myself to just throw out the word, hey, you want to go out with me? So, you know, low-key dates. I fully understand and sympathize with Warren, but I just see this overdone in video games and media a lot, and I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to romance anyone. But then you get the relationship when Chloe and Max see each other for the first time. You get that friendship reestablished, and there's moments where they're like, oh yeah, we're chilling out. We're like two very different personalities, but we care and love each other enough that it doesn't matter. They're just together. And I don't know, when I, like, something clicked in my mind, I was like, this is the relationship I want to explore. This is the relationship I feel is the natural one within the story.
Yeah, that's fair.
So as we continue, though, the episode will end. Max basically blacks out and once again has another apocalyptic vision. And I forget what she sees. Maybe she sees, like, a newspaper or something. But she sees something in the vision where she realizes that this vision is, like, 4 or 5 days from the point that she's at now.
And I think, like, I don't remember if it's a choice or not, but I believe, like, pretty early on you're able to tell Chloe about your powers.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you, like, have the option to just not tell her right off the bat.
I think you tell her. I think at some point it comes out no matter what.
Yeah, but, like, Chloe is pretty much, like, the first person that ends up knowing about it.
Yeah. So Chloe's, like, the first one that knows about it, and I don't think anyone else gets to know until the very end.
Yeah.
And even then, that's optional. But yeah, so you end the first episode, which was titled Chrysalis, at that point. Then you get into episode 2, which is Out of Time, and a lot of this is, like, there's two big things that happen here, is Max and Chloe, they're like, hey, like, there's an apocalypse happening, Rachel Amber's missing, we need to figure this shit out. But the bullying of Kate Marsh is also coming to a peak.
Yes.
So those two events are, like, coalescing, and we're also seeing a lot of Chloe's insecurities coming out, like, Chloe's very insecure about her relationship with her mom, and how her mom married another man. So if we get to see that clashing of heads.
Yeah, and this dude is like the security officer or like some sort of
officer. He's like the head of security at Blackwell.
At the school.
Yeah.
And he's honestly a pretty big douche.
He is immediately a douchebag. It's not even like
Chloe's... He's mean to Kate, who is literally one of the sweetest characters in this whole game.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, like, so rude to her over, like, something really simple. I forget what it was, but...
I think he was trying to question her about the Vortex Club party, and she was like, you need to leave me alone. And he's like, I know you're up to something, young lady.
He literally, like, is suspicious of everyone for no reason.
He also has that classic police officer mustache.
Yeah.
Which does him no favors.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I feel like at this point, a lot of people reference that stash as the porn stash. You don't see mustaches in porn anymore, I hate to tell you. Like, nowadays, it's clean shave and everything. That's a cop stash, okay? Anyway, so, Kate is, there's even points in this episode where you have to choose, hey, do I secure Chloe's feelings or do I secure Kate's feelings? There's, like, one major choice where Chloe's like, yeah, come on, we're gonna go train with your powers. And Kate calls, and Max like, oh, this is from Kate. And Chloe's turns into a really insecure bitch, and is just like, oh, fine, you already ditched me once before, go ahead, ditch me and take that call from Kate. Whatever. Which I find hilarious, because it's literally just a phone call. Like, even if you answer it, you still get to leave with Chloe.
Right.
Like, Chloe's just a bitch about it. Like, you just lower your relationship a little bit with Chloe. And, like, even though I was, in my original playthrough, I was trying to, like, mend this relationship with Chloe, I was like, no, this is important. Kate's literally told me that she's been having some really bad thoughts. I cannot just ignore what is likely a call for help. And even then, it was like, it's Kate just checking in, but that's important. So it's like, okay, I'm glad I took this call. Chloe, you need to chill the fuck out. Like,
yeah, for real.
And then we start to test out Max's powers. Like, she can rewind. Like, she rewinds time a lot during this puzzle with Chloe. And I believe this is also episode 2. Episode 2 is when Chloe gets stuck in the train tracks. So then you're like, and I'm like, okay, so this is now going to be the second time that Chloe is in a life-threatening situation.
And it won't be the last time.
Then I have to rewind time, and I'm like, is this just going to happen every episode? Like, is it just going to get worse and worse? First time, oh, she got shot in a bathroom. That's a terrible happenstance. This time, she's going to get fucking run over by a train. Like, there is God knows how many wheels on this train, and they're going to all hit her.
And, like, I'm not sure if we found this out at this point, but, like, we definitely know that there's a limit to Max's powers.
Yeah.
Like, she can't just, like...
We knew there was a limit to how far back she could go.
Yeah, like, she can't just rewind. Like, I don't know... Like, there wasn't an exact science to it, but, like, she could only rewind for, like, each moment, like, you know...
A certain amount, and something I like is the game even shows her vision getting a little distorted. It's like a migraine happens if she tries to push it any further.
And there's definitely moments where she does push herself to the point where she gets a bloody nose.
Yeah. Which, I don't know why, but apparently I just had a lot of bloody noses as a kid. Whenever I see someone have a bloody nose, if they're like, oh, I'm just like, suck it up! It's a fucking bloody nose, bitch! Just fucking get some tissues! Move on! Anyway. After we save Chloe, again, whether we do it by destroying the train tracks or not, that's up to the player, we go back to class. Kate's being, like, spoken to by Mr. Jefferson. That's right. She went to Mr. Jefferson for help, I think. And Jefferson, like, said something insensitive or whatever. Mr. Jefferson is the photography teacher, by the way, that almost every girl in the school is simping for. And Kate fucking books it out of there. And you're just like, yeah. And you can, there's different ways the conversation with Mr. Jefferson can go. But all in all, Mr. Jefferson is very much like, yeah, there's not much I could do. Which very much screams a 13th reason why right there. But, and speaking of the 13 reasons, that certainly was Kate's 13th reason. Because we find out Kate literally runs back to the girls' dorm, somehow makes it all the way to the roof, and is ready to jump. Like, literally, by the time Max gets there, Kate's already jumped. And Max rewinds time, and she has to rewind time, like, 2 or 3 times. And then when she, like, focuses really hard, she gets it to where Kate is on the roof, and all of time is frozen. And, like, it stays frozen long enough for Max to get up to the roof with Kate. And then when time begins to move again, Max tries to rewind, and she realizes she can't. She's used up her power for an extended period. So that's the game telling you, hey, you need to talk Kate off its ledge. And if Kate jumps, you're not rewinding that. Like, that's permanent.
Yeah.
So that's, like, you both discover a new power that for Max, but you also discover a new limitation. Which is classic, like, right? That's good writing right there. A lot of times you'll give someone a new power and they're just like, all right, I've leveled up. You're going to have to level up my enemies now. No, like, Max has a new power, but if she uses it, she's fucked for an extended period.
Mm.
So, did you want to talk about the conversation that you have to have with Kate? You're literally talking Kate off a ledge here.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't say, like, in detail what it was, just because, as I said, it's been a while since I played. But I know that you have to, like, you have to say very specific things to actually talk her down. Like, it's not extremely easy to, like, get her to come down.
Yeah.
And I don't remember how. Like, I think the first time I tried, I failed, but I just went back and replayed it because I was like, no, I am going to save her.
Okay, so one, I also failed, but two, I dislike that. Like, this is just a pet peeve of mine, because I give JP shit for this all the time, too. Like, when I play the game for the first time, I live with my fucking consequences. I'm like, oh, no. Like, literally, when I got to the, like, oh, here's the percentage of people that got the same choice you did, and they were like, this percent of people got Kate killed, I was like, that means that there was a way for her to live. And I'm like, okay, well, when I'm able to replay this, I'm going to figure out how to get her out alive. But until then, I have to live for 3 more episodes of this game knowing I got fucking... that I let Kate fucking kill herself. Like, that's the consequence I have to live with.
I mean, you didn't let her if you tried to get her to come down.
I tried and I failed.
It's not like you went up there and you were like, jump, bitch!
Do a flip! Anyway. But yeah, no, I literally, like, I immerse myself in these games. And I, like, to me, I feel like if I was just to be like, all right, delete save, start over, get Kate out alive, I would just feel like I cheated the system there, and I would just break the immersion for the rest of the game for myself.
Yeah, that's fair. Everyone has their preferences of how they like to play games.
Regardless of whether or not you get Kate out alive, that's about the end of episode 2. And then you get into episode 3, which is called Chaos Theory. Max and Chloe are continuing the investigation, and I'm trying to remember the full details of this episode, but most of my mind is with the very end of the episode. Do you have anything to say about the events of this episode leading up to the end?
I honestly don't know what happens in what episode. The wiki I pulled up just gives me all the information. It doesn't break it into chapters.
The beginning of the third episode, they break into the school.
They want to get into the principal's office.
So they can pull up files and everything, and I forget what else.
Basically a lot of, like, smaller tasks you have to do just to get into the principal's office. Like, you have to go into all the other classrooms and, like, find specific items, which takes a long time.
Yeah, you gotta make a bomb.
Then you have to get into the office, and you have to choose whether to, like, you know... I think, like, there's an option to pick the lock or just, like, break in. Like,
oh, no, it's...
Or is it just the bomb?
It's just the bomb. Because literally what happens, the bomb goes off, you have to get in the room. Fun fact, when Max rewinds time, she stays where she is. So even though police are on the way, she just rewinds time before she set off the bomb, but she's still in the room.
Right.
So then she just unlocks it from her side.
Yeah.
Which I loved, because to Chloe's whole point of view is, all right, Max, let me just work on this door. She turns, starts the lockpick, click. Max is already on the other side of the door. And Chloe's like, how did you... fucking time travel.
So, yeah.
And I believe there's a... I believe there's also a section at the Two Whales Diner where you can steal Frank's keys and you can go through Frank's van. It's a lot of just investigating what happened to Rachel Amber.
Yeah.
But the big thing is we find out that Max gets another new power. She can fucking time travel through pictures.
Yeah.
She finds a picture that she took of Chloe and her dad, I believe it was. And she travels all the way back to the night before Chloe's biological dad died. And even though I did not want to do it, I literally did not want to do it. I was like, please tell me that this is an optional thing. No, it's a static event. To get to the end of this episode, you need to stop Chloe's dad from leaving the house. You need to make it so Chloe's dad doesn't die. Actually, he leaves the house, but he takes the bus. The important thing is he doesn't take his own car, because if he takes his own car, he dies.
Right.
In a horrible car accident. Which is, aka, literally the worst day of Chloe's fucking life. Forever reasons as well. But so then we literally get the cliffhanger at the end of that episode. Max wakes up in an alternate timeline where she's a preppy who is friends with what are normally her bullies. And she seeks out Chloe, and she finds out instead of Chloe's dad getting in the car accident, Chloe would get into a car accident at a later date and becomes a quadriplegic.
Yeah.
And that's how you end the third episode. Fourth episode, called The Dark Room, and it lives up to the name because it's so fucking dark.
Yeah, like, this is where shit really starts to hit the fan.
This episode was so depressing. It literally starts with alternate timeline Chloe being like, I am in pain all the time. I'm a burden on my family. Max, I want to die. Max, just pop this syringe into my medicine bag and I'm gone. Like, that's the one thing I'm asking of you, my best friend, is to kill me. And I fucking, like, I could not do it. I don't know about you. I literally had to tell Chloe, I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Like, and Chloe's like, well, then you're not my fucking friend. Fuck off. And, but you manage to get a photo album with a picture of Chloe and her dad. So you go back in time again. You get the montage where it's like you let her father go and die. And then you're brought back to present day with everything back the way it was before.
So, like, this, like, whole new power, like, it's not really explained much at all, but, like, I wonder, like, would she have really been stuck in that timeline if she didn't, like, you know, just go into another photograph and end up back in her original timeline? Like, is that how that works?
Where would she get that photograph, though? Because in this new timeline, those photographs never were taken. She doesn't keep the photographs. That's the thing. She has to keep finding these photographs.
Yeah, I know. But I'm like, what if she just does... Like, if she hadn't, you know, looked at a new photograph and she just, like, decided, oh, I want to stay here. Does that work? Like,
yeah, apparently.
She's just able to stay there?
Supposedly, yeah. Because supposedly she stayed there for a whole day.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird because in the fifth episode, there's, like, more limitations put on it, but... In the last episode, she's in, like, an alternate reality within an alternate reality within an alternate reality. Fifth episode is where things get really janky, but, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, in the fourth episode, she manages to get out of the alternate reality by turning everything back to normal. And it's so sad to have to face Chloe after that, because she's just like, not only did I cause you to have an accident and have to deal with the fact that you literally asked me to kill you, I then had to go back and, like, knowingly allow your father to die. Just the mental trauma that Max has to go through.
Emotional damage.
Emotional damage.
It's really heavy.
Oh my gosh. Max and Chloe are beginning to fully put the pieces together of what's happened to Rachel Amber. I feel so bad because in my mind, the whole Rachel Amber investigation did get swept under the rug for me. Because I'm just like, how important really was finding Rachel Amber's body when the entire fucking world was going to end in, like, 4 days?
Yeah, there's a lot going on besides the investigation. But I remember I was, like, pretty intrigued. Like, once you get closer to the end of the season, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, because things start picking up.
Yeah, like, once you, like, get closer to finding out what happened to her, I know that I was, like, really intrigued about it. But, like, leading up to the end, like, I don't remember being super interested because, like, Rachel wasn't Max's friend, obviously, because Chloe and Rachel were friends while Max was gone. So all you know about her is the stuff that Chloe tells you. But, like, Max didn't know her herself, so, like... There's only so much information you know about her, so it's like the player doesn't have too much reason to care about Rachel besides the fact that she was a good friend of Chloe.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much
it. And if you care enough about Chloe, you're probably going to care about Rachel.
Right.
And Chloe at this point is like on a mad vengeance quest because you put all the details together, you figure out what happened. Like, you literally can like break into Nathan Prescott's phone after Warren defends you, and you can also just allow Warren to go fucking beast mode on Nathan, which I love. And I was like, what's even the upside to Warren not beating Nathan to fucking pulp? And I guess the answer is, like, I think it's if you allow Warren to beat the shit out of Nathan, then, like, Chloe can get Nathan's gun. And if you don't allow Warren to beat the shit out of Nathan, Warren feels, like, less of an asshole because he's like, oh, like, afterwards he's like, I feel so bad. Like, I can't believe I did that. But, like, Nathan gets to keep his gun, I'm pretty sure. I might have that twisted. Someone can fact check me if they want, but I might get that twisted around. Basically, there was like zero upside to not beating the fucking shit out of Nathan Prescott, who fully deserves it.
Yeah, he deserves it either way.
He deserves it just as much as What's-Her-Face deserved that roller skate to the fucking head in Stranger Things.
Yes.
But yeah.
Which is also a random spoiler.
Hey, it's an out-of-context spoiler. But anyway, so eventually you get enough evidence where you're like, oh yeah, Nathan Prescott killed Rachel Amber. You go to the Vortex Club party with the full intention of finding Nathan Prescott, but then you get a text from Nathan Prescott, or Nathan Prescott's phone, saying, hey bitches, you want Rachel Amber? Come find her where it all started. And they go to the fucking junkyard and, like, they realize that there's bad vibes, and they literally just start digging. They start digging with their bare hands, and they find Rachel Amber's remains buried there. And just when you thought you couldn't get worse.
Yeah, it only goes downhill from there.
There's a syringe with some sort of drug injected into Max's neck. We then find out that Max cannot use her powers when under the influence of drugs, because she's literally trying to rewind, not happening, and Chloe is shot in the fucking head. So, yeah, Chloe's dead. You know, it had to happen.
I honestly forgot, like, how fast all of that happened. Like, yeah. I forgot how many times, like, Chloe's life is put on the line in this game.
I told you, you save someone who's supposed to die, time's gonna say, no, fuck you. Either they have to die or someone else does.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And so, it is revealed that it is not Nathan Prescott who's the bad guy, but Mr. Jefferson.
Dun, dun, dun.
The fucking photography teacher that everyone was simping for.
Yep. He's actually a creep.
Which brings us to our fifth episode, Polarized. Alright, so after being kidnapped, Max somehow finds a way to jump back in time. She finds her fucking selfie that she takes in the very first episode. So she jumps back all the way to the first episode, and she, like, finds a way to warn,
Frank?
Not Frank. No, Frank's the fucking Rachel Amber's ex-boyfriend. David. Yeah, David.
Yeah.
She finds a way to warn David, the step-douche father who's head of security. And she finds a way to warn him about God, I'm getting her names confused. Mr. Jefferson. And then we're in an alternate timeline where Mr. Jefferson gets fucking arrested. And apparently Max enters a photo into the Everyday Heroes contest and wins. And then we're in an alternate timeline where Max is on her way to fucking... I forget where the contest winners go. I think it's somewhere in California. But she goes to California. Fucking... And like... But while she's there, she gets a call from Chloe, who says that the fucking apocalypse storm still happens and everyone's dying. So then Max is like, okay, well, clearly the only way to fix this is I just have to not be here. So she goes back in time again. She makes another alternate timeline where she rips up her, like, photo and never enters the contest. But then this creates another alternate timeline where Mr. Jefferson finds out that she ripped up her photo, gets furious, escalates his plans, fucking kidnaps her anyway, burns her fucking book. And now that he's burned the book, Max can no longer escape into alternate universes. And even though this technically counts as another alternate universe, apparently it's close enough to the original that there's no more limitations on Max's power. But yeah, so for some reason, there's just another alternate universe here.
Yeah, it gets really confusing because of how many times she goes back and then, you know, comes back to the original or gets close to the original timeline.
And then Mr. Jefferson comes in, and Mr. Jefferson fucks with your help, mostly with your help. I remember when I replayed this, I was like, God damn, can this guy not fucking do anything without my help? But he does defeat Mr. Jefferson. And then if you tell him that Chloe is dead, he then shoots Mr. Jefferson for revenge. Which, I mean, I think that's justified.
Yeah, that's pretty fair.
I mean, hey,
not legal, but you know.
I'm gonna tell you right now, there is a gun in there that has Mr. Jefferson's prints on it, so you know, self-defense.
Also, can we just to add to, like, the creepiness of Mr. Jefferson, like, he wasn't just kidnapping these girls, like, he kidnapped Rachel Amber as well.
And Kate Marsh.
Yeah. And what he does is literally drugs them and then takes pictures of them. And I don't know what else. Like, I don't know if they were trying to allude that he did anything else.
I don't think so. I think they just allude that they allude that he's sick. But
yeah, it's already creepy in the fact that he feels the need to do all this shit. But yeah, like, he wasn't just kidnapping them, like, and keeping them there. Like, he was also, like, just constantly drugging them and, like, taking pictures of them.
They never show anyone with, like, their clothes off. I think they show Rachel Amber, but then there's also the whole Rachel Amber led a loose lifestyle, so you never, like, there was question marks on if that she was drugged for that or not. Not condoning any of it, obviously, but I don't think they try to allude that there was sexual assault, just, you know, plain assault and drugging.
Yes.
And very creepy pictures that he keeps for his own personal collection.
Yeah, and just, like, the way he talks is creepy in general. Yeah, he's just like, yeah, I like to see people genuinely scared for their lives.
He literally goes from that charismatic, cool teacher like, hey guys, how's it going? To, hey Max, I just want to know how you look with true fucking terror fucking eyes.
I like to break people's innocence and take pictures of that.
He also literally murders Nathan Prescott. We don't see it, but he literally says, yeah, I had to kill Nathan. I had to make it look like a suicide because now everyone's going to know that Rachel Amber's dead, so I had to pin that on somebody. I'm just like, oh shit. Like, and you can literally, there's a cutscene where Max is, like, driving away after all the shit with Jefferson's done. And you can hear a voicemail from Nathan Prescott where he's like, Max, he's coming for me. I'm so sorry, Max. I didn't mean for any of this. I fucked up. And it's, like, the most innocent you ever hear Nathan Prescott. Like, he... And I'm just like, why doesn't this fucker go to the cops? He literally...
Yeah, for real.
He knows the guy's coming to kill him. Why doesn't he do anything? But...
He decides to call Max.
He calls Max of all people. But yeah, so Max gets to the diner where you can or cannot romance Warren.
Yeah, because this is the perfect time.
I think I hugged him. I think I gave him I think I friend zoned him with the hug. Like, it was a good friend zone because there's also the option to show absolutely zero emotion towards him. But then I found, because Warren has a picture. Warren has a picture on his phone of the night of the Vortex Club party at episode 4 before Chloe dies. So you use that, you go back, you somehow convince Chloe not to go into the Vortex Club party, you tell her everything that's happening, and then Max, who's been through enough of this bullshit by now, is just like, alright Chloe, here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna fucking black out. I'm not gonna know what I'm doing. So I need you to bring me to the lighthouse, okay? And Chloe's like, how will I know that you'll even listen to me? And Max is like, Chloe, you're my best friend. I will follow you anywhere. I just need you to do it. And then Max goes through a puzzle section, very needless, absolutely no point for it, but it's a filler section.
Yeah, for real, it's just filler.
And then she ends up at the lighthouse, and they finally come to the conclusion that I came to at the end of episode 2, that, fuck it, at the beginning of episode one, really, that Chloe has to die or all of Arcadia Bay dies. Now, I've since played through both endings. One is more fulfilling than the other. If you sacrifice Arcadia Bay, you let Arcadia Bay die, then you and Chloe leave town, and that's it. That's the end of the game. You don't get any more closure than that. If you sacrifice Chloe, there's, like, a nice montage with music. Like, everyone mourns Chloe's death. Mr. Jefferson still goes to jail. All that jazz. And I just find it very funny how the developers were like, we're going to put a lot of thought and closure into one ending. And the other ending, we're like, eh, this happens.
Like, when you save fucking Chloe, they're just like, all right, you know, you just get a nice little car ride. And that's it, guys.
And you'll never see them again. Unless
you don't know what's their future holds at all.
Fun fact. Actually, is this a fun fact? I forget if I... Yeah, this is a fun fact, but I'll save it for later. Not much later, because now that we've covered the plot details, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsor, and then we're going to talk fun facts, and I'm going to ask Cicely a few questions that she is probably not prepared for.
Yes.
And we're back. All right, so feel free to comment on any of these fun facts. Fun fact number one. Square Enix was an easy choice for publisher, as they were the only studio who did not insist on changing Max to a male character.
Wait, what?
Yeah, but pretty much every other publisher Don't Nod brought this game to, they wanted the character to be male.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's very common to have a protagonist be male in video games.
Yeah. It sucks, but literally, even still in the early to mid-2010s, there was still the thought process that female protagonists do not sell video games.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know what the fuck they're thinking.
Yeah, I'm glad that they didn't appease the people who wanted to do that.
Right. Alright, number two. Ashley Birch, who got a lot of credit for playing Chloe Price. She actually auditioned both for Chloe Price and for Max Caulfield.
That would have been interesting.
Imagine if she was Max. Like, I could not imagine her as Max, honestly.
Yeah, it would have been weird. I mean, I doubt I would have noticed the first time I played, because I was too young to know about all that.
Well, this was right as Ashley Birch was catching on. Like, this was 2015. The Last of Us originally released, what, 2014, 2013? So she was just becoming big at this point.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm confusing Ashley Birch with someone else. Yeah, I totally am. Ellie from Life is Strange. Now that I'm realizing this, I'm terrible. It's not Ashley Birch in Life is Strange. It's Ashley Johnson. I'm an idiot. Ashley Birch is fucking Aloy in Horizon Zero Dawn. That's what Ashley Birch is.
Wow.
I'm an idiot. So even more to my point, though, this was before Ashley Birch was, like, a AAA voice actress. Like, oh my god. She was even Cassie Cage in Mortal Kombat X, which I think was, like, 2017. But yeah, I feel like such an idiot now saying that she was Ellie in The Last of Us. Good god. Alright, number three. At the 2015 Game Awards, Life is Strange was nominated for Best Narrative, losing out to Her Story, which you can find in, Cicely did a solo episode on Her Story. You can find that in our archives. Ashley Birch was nominated for Best Performance as Chloe, but would lose to Viva Seyfert for her role of Hannah Smith in Her Story. However, Life is Strange would be Her Story in winning the Games for Impact Award. I love how the Game Awards that year was just Life is Strange versus Her Story, basically.
Mm.
In 2017, Hulu purchased the rights to adapt the game into a live-action series. Well, here we are 5 years later, and I've yet to see that fucking series.
Legit.
Make Ashley Birch for live-action Chloe or I riot.
For real, though.
Anyway, and the last one, I alluded to this earlier. In 2018, a Life is Strange comic was made, depicting the events that happen after Max chooses to sacrifice Arcadia Bay.
Oh.
I love that. They were like, you know what? We fucked up. We didn't give a big epilogue for if you sacrifice Arcadia Bay, But we also don't have the budget for another video game just focused solely on that. So here's a fucking comic book. Have it.
I didn't even know about that.
I've never read it. I just, like, know it exists, and I have no reason to want to read it. Because headcanon is a thing, and my headcanon is that Chloe's dead.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll get into that, though. Because we're now for a new segment on the 73 Dream Studios variety show called What Did You Do? All right, did you... And this could be your original playthrough, it could be your most recent playthrough, whatever you have a better time remembering. Did you pursue a romance, and if so, with whom?
I'm going to try my best to remember what my original playthrough was. I do remember I went for Warren the first time I played.
You're a fucking disgrace. I'm sorry. Why did you go for Warren?
I don't know, maybe because it was just easy. And, like, I don't know, it just made sense to me at the time.
So Warren,
like, it wasn't something I put a lot of thought into. I was just like, yeah, that makes sense.
So you did it because Warren was an easy piece of meat. Got it. I also just realized, I don't know why I'm, like, telling her that going after Warren was terrible. Because I just got done saying that I was Warren at one point, and you are now dating me, so...
Yeah, so what does that say about you?
Maybe I shouldn't give you reason to question...
You speaking on your insecurities right now?
Maybe I shouldn't give you reason to question your life decisions at this point. All right, question... and of course, I pursued Chloe, because that was natural. Were you able to save Kate in your first playthrough? We already touched on this. We both failed to save Kate.
Yes.
So here's something that we didn't touch on, You did say that you have to have certain dialogue options to save Kate. Some of those dialogue options are locked. You have, like, early in the episode, you're able to look around Kate's room. Mm-hmm. If you look around her room, it literally gives you answers.
Yeah, that's fair. Because, like, I remember there was, like, a line about, like, her family or, like, her sister or something. Yeah. So, yeah, that makes sense. Like, I'm pretty sure I had, like, quite a few options. I just didn't pick the right one.
I forget what it was. I think it was her father, like, still loved her. Her mother was like, you're a disgrace to this family. Her grandparents are like, yeah, we're ashamed of you. The father was like, hey, honey, if you need help, you can come home, okay?
Right.
You are welcome home. And it's like, if you bring up the mom or the grandparent, she's like, man, my family doesn't love me. And if you say, like... What about your dad? What would your dad do if he saw you right now? And she's like, he'd be really upset and worried for me. And then she doesn't take a step back and you take a step forward. It's like that. Like, I think you get two failures, like, and then she yeets herself. But, like, every time you get a success, Max is, like, slowly getting closer to Kate, so.
Also, like, it's just kind of bullshit because, like, I remember, like, pretty much the whole school was, like, just waiting down, like, on the actual, like...
Whole school's like, oh my god.
They're, like, just watching the whole thing, and, like, you know, like, the authoritative figures of the school probably knew that it was happening. I don't remember, like, if, like, the principal was there or not.
I remember David's there.
Yeah, and, like, nobody else even bothered to do anything. Yeah. They're all just staring
David's the only one that tries, because you literally pass David as he's frozen in place, running for the door to try to get up there. But we all know he's not going to make it in time. Did you agree to alternate timeline Chloe's wish?
Yes.
You killed Chloe?
Yeah.
Damn.
I literally did not hesitate. I was like, I got you, man.
Fuck!
Probably because I was also a depressed young person, so I was like, if I was in that situation, I would want to die too. So I was like, don't worry, girl. I got you.
I'm just going to give you Squirtle. You just,
I remember when I told my dad, too, he was just like, damn, I guess I won't be around you if I'm ever in that situation.
Well, if he's in that situation, he's going to want to be around you, but...
But still, yeah.
Hug your emotional support Pokemon, please. Everyone at home, just to be clear, 70 Free Dream Studios does not condone suicide or assisted suicide. Please reach out for help. I don't know the actual hotline number. I probably should, because that's what most people do in my position. Fuck it. It's my show. I'll sit here in silence until I figure out the number. Let's see. Suicide hotline number. There we go. Okay, it's 1-800-273-8255. It is available 24 hours, and they even have a chat feature if you don't feel like talking, which, honestly, I imagine that alone has probably saved lives. I know I don't feel like fucking talking to anyone.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Imagine getting fucking put on hold.
Oh, God, yeah. I was put on hold when I called 911 once.
Damn.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here like, this is the emergency number. Like, this is the number you call when you can't wait. And you're putting me on fucking hold? Okay, I guess I don't need to have two legs, but whatever. I can confirm, I do still have two legs. Anyway, and I did not kill Chloe. I think I said that before, because, you know, I could...
I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because you end up literally reversing...
It matters to me, damn
you
it!
You reverse what you did anyways.
It matters to me, damn it! I remember playing the first Telltale's Walking Dead, and there's two instances in that where you can help someone kill themselves. And I actually helped both those people kill themselves. And I was so fucking depressed afterward. I was like, I cannot sit through this again. I've learned from my mistakes. I cannot do this again. Sorry, Chloe, you gotta live. All right, did you kill Frank and or his dog?
I honestly don't remember. I think I might have killed Frank.
I'm trying to remember. I did not kill his dog, and which it is entirely possible to fucking kill his dog. And then there's also an option where you can either, in a later episode, there's three possibilities. You can kill Frank, you can injure Frank, and you can just leave Frank unscathed. And I'm pretty sure I somehow got every possibility, because you can rewind time, obviously. I got him killed first. I was like, I can't do that. And then I got him shot, and I was like, I didn't explore every option yet. Let me see if there's a better one than this. And then there's one where you can leave him unscathed. So I was like, okay, I can live with this. And of course, did you sacrifice Chloe or Arcadia Bay?
Arcadia Bay. Like, there was no thought behind
Damn.
It.
I was
very selfish.
I'm very familiar with time travel tropes. So I was like, I don't even know if time is going to be satisfied with killing everyone here. I also want to point out, we talk about how shitty of a fucking friend Max is. What about this, huh? What about this? Chloe literally says, hey, my mom's here. Everyone I love is here. Like, if I don't die, everyone I love dies. Meanwhile, Max, who has her whole fucking family in a different fucking state, loses literally nothing by making this decision, is like, just rips up the photos like, nah, you're living, bitch. Like,
yeah.
Max literally loses nothing in this scenario.
I mean, besides Warren, unless you just decide that you don't like him. Like, unless you decide that, like, you don't even like being his friend, then that's pretty much all she loses.
But either way, Max doesn't lose fucking family in this. Most of the people she knows in this town bullied her or was a fucking serial killer.
Yeah, she literally only has, Warren and Kate as friends.
And Kate, and I think, is Kate out of, Kate's out of the city at least, I think. Was that a thing? If Kate lives, they take her to a hospital, and she does, and they say that, I think they say she's out of town.
Yeah, you might be right. I don't remember, to be honest.
Yeah, so pretty much the only person you lose is Warren, which, I mean, acceptable losses. But anyway. But yeah, no. But for me, I was like, no, time travel, and I'm like, in canon, I feel like it would make more sense. I feel like the story is just naturally guiding you to kill Chloe. And it's like, you know what? And here's the other thing. We danced around the whole romance with Chloe thing. I was so fucking happy when they got to say that they loved each other and kiss each other before, like, in my case, before Arcadia Bay was saved and Chloe had to die. It made the story so much more emotionally gripping. You get an actual LGBT representation kiss on screen in the game at a time where that wasn't a commonplace thing.
Hell yeah!
And I was like, this is great. This didn't feel forced. This felt fucking natural. Like, I was happy with this. And it hurt even more because it's like, I literally got these two to fall in love. And then I had to immediately kill Chloe if I wanted the timeline to be set right again. Oh yeah, fun fact. If you kill Chloe, in order to do that, you have to go back to the very first time you discover you had time travel powers. You have to sit there and let Chloe get shot, and then it's implied that Max just doesn't have powers anymore, and that Max is now in her original timeline, because, I guess to be fair, Max saving Chloe technically created an alternate timeline to begin with?
I honestly don't remember the fact that she supposedly doesn't have powers after she lets Chloe die.
I think it's just implied. Like, I think it's implied that she... Because it's like the butterfly supposedly gave her her powers, and then the butterfly takes them away because it's no longer needed. I don't know. There's a lot of fan theories like, oh, well, this was really all about Max becoming a better person and finding herself in her old friend Chloe and getting a second chance at having a life with Chloe, and then just making the mature decision to give it up. And it's like, I don't know.
It's definitely some food for thought, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, that was my last what did you do question. So, yeah, what a game.
Yeah. It was definitely pretty compelling for me when I originally played it. Like, it's definitely still one of my favorite games, yeah. I would say.
All right, so the next episode that I'm going to be doing next week, it's going to be just me. It's going to be a super quick episode. We're going to be covering the Cuphead show on Netflix. Feel free to check it out. It's on Netflix. It's like a 20-minute episodes or something, 13 of them. It's fun. Watch it or don't. You can learn about it when you hear it from me. But today is also a bittersweet day. Today is Cicely's last episode for quite a while.
Yes, indeed. I unfortunately have a life.
Yeah,
life to live.
Do you want to share what you're doing, or?
I mean, I can just say that I have work to do.
Yeah.
Legit.
Cicely's got some outside projects. Yeah, and she's going to be traveling. And of course, even after that, you're going back to school as well.
Yeah.
And when you were in school, we obviously didn't get to hear from you a lot.
Yes.
So yeah, it's going to be just me, which is fine, because I own this company now.
Mm-hmm.
I can do whatever the hell I want. That's right, you guys are here with me. And I appreciate everyone that's been listening. We're going to slowly get more sponsors other than Anchor. Share this with all your friends, please. We have such a blast doing this. But yeah, anything you want to plug before you go? Any last words?
Feel free to follow my Twitch at Sizzles01, I think.
Yep.
And yeah, if you follow my Twitch account, you will be able to go to my YouTube channel if you so please. The link is literally right on my Twitch account, so all you have to do is click on it, and it'll take you to my YouTube.
Yep, and don't forget, I am also on Twitch, rdog20. We are 25 followers away from becoming an affiliate.
Woop woop!
So yeah, that's fun. And yeah, while we're sharing, I'm picking up freelance writing gigs now, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so... I'm going to miss you, honestly. Yeah, like, it's not even like she's not going to be on the show and she's just going to be in the corner focusing on work. She's literally just leaving. She's traveling now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you, too.
Now I'm going to hug Squirtle, my emotional support Pokemon.
But don't worry, I will be back, as always.
And, of course, we're going to try to have JP on. And who knows, maybe my friends down in Rhode Island will want to hop on for a chat.
Just maybe.
Who knows? I have a couple people reach out wanting to be on the show. I just need to actually become mobile with my equipment.
Yes.
But until then, keep your eyes peeled. So, because I'm posting that schedule for July soon, probably after next week's episode. Follow us on Spotify. Send us messages through Anchor.fm. If you send us messages through Anchor.fm, we hear them. We hear what you guys want us to talk about. We hear the questions you guys have about the different products that we are making. And we're just excited to hear from you. So much love to everyone. And enjoy the rest of your week here at the Mystery Motel.
Bye.